In this video, we'll derive some calculus or computational rules for the Fréchet derivative. So remember from the previous video that our setting is two normed vector spaces X and Y. We have a subset O of the space X, which is open, and we have a function from F to O, from O to Y, which is given. We say that the Fréchet derivative of f at some point x bar in O is some bounded linear operator. And here we call that bounded linear operator f prime of x bar. This operator, f prime of x bar, has to satisfy this, that the linear approximation, which is given in terms of this f prime of x bar, so this term, minus f at x bar plus h goes to zero faster than h does. And we also found that the Fréchet derivative, if it exists, is unique. Now, let's derive a property which should be familiar to you. It says that differentiability implies continuity. So if you have a function which is Fréchet differentiable at some point x bar, then it's automatically continuous. Actually, the proof will give us something more than continuity. It will give us this property. So it says that not only does the difference between f of x and f of x bar go to zero as x goes to x bar, if you measure this in relation to how big the difference between the input values is, then that is bounded as x goes to x bar by the size of the derivative. This, you might find this familiar. It looks like a property that we had for real valued functions, which says that if a function has a derivative everywhere and that derivative is bounded, then the function is Lipschitz continuous with that bound as Lipschitz constant. So this is completely analogous to this. Remember that in Lipschitz continuity, we're looking at this ratio, and that ratio has to be bounded. What this property here says that at least close to the point x bar, where we assume differentiability, then this ratio is bounded by the derivative of f at x bar. Okay, so for continuity, this is what we need. F of x bar plus h goes to f of x bar as h goes to zero. So this value is almost the same as this when the input value is almost the same as this input value. So we measure the norm of the difference. Well, now we can add and subtract something, and we add and subtract what we know something about, which is the derivative. Because this, the sum of the first three terms is something we know something about. So we use the triangle inequality to split these into two. And for the first term, let's multiply and divide by norm of h. We know that this fraction goes to zero as h goes to zero. And of course, h goes to zero as h goes to zero. So this entire term goes to zero. On the second, for the second term, we have the bounded linear operator f prime of x bar evaluated at the vector h. We can always bound an expression like that by the operator norm of the linear bounded linear operator times the size of the input vector. Well, this is a bounded number, it's finite, and this goes to zero as h goes to zero. So in total, all of this goes to zero as h goes to zero. In particular, from all of this, we see that if we just give this the name x, then what we started out with is the numerator of what is up here. If we divide now this inequality by norm of h. H is the same as x minus x bar, x minus x bar. So that's the same as in the denominator here. So on the left-hand side, we get precisely the left-hand side here. On the right-hand side, we get something which goes to zero. So the lim sup of that goes to zero, plus what remains, we have divided by this. So what remains is this term, the size of the derivative, which is precisely what sits here. So that also gives us the second property. And this finishes the proof. Next, let's try to differentiate some familiar functions. Well, let's differentiate linear functions and constant functions. The proposition says that, well, this might sound strange, but I'll try to explain it afterwards. The derivative of a bounded linear operator is the operator itself. So in particular, any bounded linear operator is Fréchet differentiable. The second property says that any constant function is differentiable and its derivative is the zero operator. Here by zero, we mean the zero operator from x to y. I'll leave the second part as an exercise, and when I finish the proof, you should stop the video and try to prove this. So for the first property, if f is a bounded linear operator, then of course f of x bar plus h minus f of x bar, well, that's equal to f of x bar plus h minus x bar, which is equal to f of h. So if you write down this ratio here, then these terms cancel and you get zero for any h. So this means that what I inserted here, namely f, must be the Fréchet derivative at any point x bar. As I said, I'll leave the second part as an exercise and you should stop the video now and try to prove it. Well, as I mentioned, property one sounds very strange. You're used to from calculus that the derivative of a linear function should be a constant function. Well, for such functions, functions from R to R, we have that the Fréchet derivative is the linear function which takes a vector h. H is now, so by vector we mean real number here, and gives you back h multiplied by the standard derivative df dx at x bar. So that means that our concept of a derivative, namely Fréchet derivative, is a linear operator, but what you have learned before is that the derivative is a number. But in this identification, we're identifying this this number here with this bounded linear operator. So this isn't that strange after all. We are identifying a number which, from as you learned in calculus, the derivative of a linear operator is also always a constant, but we're identifying that constant with a linear operator. And that linear operator has to be the same linear operator as we started out with. So this is more a just a manner of speech or a way the way we have defined derivatives forces us to identify derivatives of linear operators with a linear operator itself. So this is more something to get used to than something which is that strange. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Let's say that we have two functions from the same set O to Y, and we have a function which we'll call lowercase f is a real value function but defined on the same set. Let's assume that all of them are differentiable at the same point x bar. By differentiable here, I mean Fréchet differentiable. Then the following two rules of calculus are true. If you take the derivative of the sum of the functions, then that's the sum of the derivatives. And if you take the derivative of the product of two functions, little f times big F, note that this makes sense. F at any value is a real number. Big F at any value is a vector, and we're allowed to multiply vectors by real numbers. So this product makes sense, and we can differentiate it. The derivative exists, and it's given by this. So this is a variant of the product rule. So you know from the product rule that the derivative of a product is the product of the first times the second function value plus the first function value times the derivative of the second value, the second function. And then if you try to write that out, then inevitably it has to look like this. Okay, let's start with the first property. Let's write down this function at the point x bar plus h minus the same function at the x minus my candidate for a derivative, namely this, at the point h. We take the norm of that and we divide by the norm of h. So we want all of this to go to zero as h goes to zero. Okay, well now we can use the triangle inequality. Let's lump everything that has to do with f together and put that on one hand, and everything that has to do with g and put that in the second term in the triangle inequality. Well, we've assumed that both f and g are differentiable at the point x bar. So this goes to zero and this goes to zero. Hence also the sum goes to zero and the term that we started out with goes to zero. So we have shown that indeed my candidate for a derivative is indeed a derivative. I will leave the second part as an exercise, the product rule, but I'll give a hint. What you have to consider is terms like a term like this. So the function at hand at some point x bar plus h minus the same function at x bar. And the trick now, which is the same trick as was used in calculus to derive the product rule, is to add and subtract some terms. And we write it like this. We can write this exactly equal to little f at x bar plus h minus f of x bar times f of x bar plus little f at this point minus the difference between big F at two different points. You see that some of the cross terms here cancel. So this term cancels with this term, and then you're left with the left-hand side. Now, if you take the norm of all of, take the difference between this and all of this, you take the norm of that and you divide by the norm of h, then you should be able to group together common terms and use the differentiability of little f and big F. But as I said, I'll leave this as an exercise. And finally, we will need a chain rule. So here is the chain rule for Fréchet derivatives. Let's say that we have three norm vector spaces, x, y, z. So here is x, y, and z. We have a point little x bar in the space big X. We have a function from x to y, big F, which is differentiable at this point here, x bar. And we have a function g from y to z, which is differentiable at this point. Remember that in the chain rule, we want to compose f and g. So we need to know something about g at this point where F lands. The proposition says that, and here I see that it should have been G composed with F because F composed with G doesn't make sense. The function G composed with F, which goes from X to Z, is differentiable at little x bar. And moreover, we can write down the derivative of this composed function at x bar as follows. It's equal to g, here should be g derivative at this point f of x bar, that's a bounded linear operator, composed with the bounded linear operator f prime at x bar. So both this and this is a bounded linear operator, and you know how to compose them. So this is precisely the expression that we get for the derivative of the composition. The chain rule for real valued function says that the derivative of a composition is the derivative of the outer function times the derivative of the inner function. Well, multiplying the constants in a bounded linear operator is the same as composition of bounded linear operators. So this is why we get composition here and not multiplication. Multiplication of bounded linear operator is not something we have defined. Okay, let's go through the proof. Let's, from now on, let's denote y bar as f of x bar. So this is y bar. So we assume that g is differentiable at y bar. Let's define two new functions, sigma f and sigma g. They are the terms that appear in the numerators of the definition of differentiability. So by the property of being differentiable, we know that these terms go to zero as x approaches x bar, and these term goes to zero as y approaches y bar. So here I'm writing x minus x bar instead of h, but you could write x is equal to x bar plus h, and that might be more familiar to you. Okay, let's define a new third function, sigma subscript g composed with f. And it's the term that will appear in the numerator of differentiability of the composed function. And here I have inserted my candidate for a derivative. So this is precisely the same as this. Okay, so how can we manipulate this and use what we know? Well, first, let's group this together as this. Well, this and this is not precisely the same. It's almost the same. G composed with f at x. So this is equal to g of f of x. And this term is equal to g of f of x bar, which is the same as g of y bar. So that's the same term appearing here. So here we can replace this by g of y, where y is equal to f of x. But in the derivative terms, we don't have the same. So this is not the same as this. So for that reason, we have to add this term. Here y is equal to f of x, y bar is f of x bar. And then we have to subtract what we had in the previous step. So I've simply added and subtracted a few terms to go from the first line to the second. Okay, let's manipulate this remainder term a little bit. So this is equal to, we see that g prime of y is a common term. So this bounded linear operator is first evaluated at this difference, minus then evaluated at f prime of x bar at this difference. So we can write all of this as this. So the way to read this is the bounded linear operator g prime of y bar evaluated at this entire term. But this you recognize as sigma f. So we've been able to write the sigma g composed with f as this term. So that's what we've found out so far. What we want to do now is to look at this expression. This is what will appear in if you write down the definition of differentiability of the composed function g composed with f. We want this to go to zero as x approaches x bar. Well, the term in the norm in the numerator is the sum of two terms. So let's apply the triangle inequality to get the norm of the first plus the norm of the second. And for the second term, we can write away bound here g prime of y. This is a bounded linear operator. This should have been g prime of y bar and y bar. This is a bounded linear operator, so this is a finite number. And then multiplied by the norm of the what you inserted into that bounded linear operator, which is sigma f of x, divided by the what's in the denominator. Well, this term we know goes to zero. We know that this goes to zero. This we know because f is differentiable at x bar. So we have a finite number multiplied by something which goes to zero. So this goes to zero, and we're only left with proving that the first term goes to zero as x approaches x bar. So that's what we want to prove. This is our claim. Let's write out this. Let's multiply and divide by something clever. Let's multiply and divide by this. Okay, the first term goes to zero because when x goes to x bar, f of x goes to f of x bar. Here we have simply replaced. Here we can write this as norm of sigma g of y divided by norm of y minus y bar, where y is equal to f of x. X approaches x bar implies that y approaches y bar. And as y approaches y bar, we know that this approaches zero. This was the definition of differentiability of g at the point y bar. So the first term goes to zero. And for the second term, you might recognize this as this Lipschitz type ratio, which appeared in the proposition that we had that stated that differentiability implies continuity. That second property in that proposition said that precisely this ratio, when x approaches x bar, is upper bounded by the size of the derivative of f. This is a finite number because f prime at x bar is a bounded linear operator. So we have now that this expression can be written as something goes to zero times something which is bounded. Hence, all of this goes to zero as x approaches x bar. And that's the last ingredient that we wanted in order to prove the theorem. So this finishes the proof. In the next video, we'll move on to what are called Gotteau derivatives, also called directional derivatives, which is a tool which makes it a bit simpler to compute derivatives of functions.